How's the rest of us doing?
Good.
Good? Oh, I'm not convinced. Oh my gosh. Even on the worst day, this is the best place to be. Amen. Being in the presence of God is always the best place to be. Oh my gosh. Well, we've been in this series, Friendology. And I don't know about you, I've been enjoying it and getting my toes stepped on too. Today, part three. And I want us to do something really quick. I want us to think about two friends, not your two friends, just two friends. So hypothetical friends or make-believe friends. There we go. Okay, two friends. They've been friends for years. They've walked through a lot of life together. They've laughed together. They've prayed together. They've been there for each other in hard parts of life. It's safe to say that they're good friends, right? But then one day, one of them says something that hurts the other. This isn't like this huge betrayal. It's just a comment, but that comment landed wrong. Anybody ever been there? And that hurt friend decides not to say anything because it's not worth making a big deal about it, right? So he lets it go. Or at least he tells himself that he does. Because a few days later, he's still thinking about it. And then a text goes unanswered. And then another comment feels a little short. And plans get made, but he's not included. And because that first hurt wasn't really dealt with, now everything looks a little different. And that hurt friend starts wondering, is something going on? Did I do something? Does he even care about this friendship anymore? And eventually he tells someone else what's going on. And he says, can I tell you something that's been bothering me? Now someone else knows. Then maybe another person. And before long, something that started between two people now involves four, then six. People start doing what we do, forming opinions. Assumptions are getting made. Feelings get hurt. And here's the crazy part about it. They're talking. They're just not talking to each other. The two people who actually need to have the conversation still haven't had it. And that's how relationships can get messy. Not always because of one huge betrayal, right? Sometimes it's one unresolved hurt, then an assumption, then some distance, then someone else gets pulled in until something that might have been resolved with one honest conversation has become something much bigger. But the truth is, every relationship eventually gets messy. Every relationship eventually gets messy because every relationship is made up of imperfect people. Even good friends misunderstand each other. Even godly people disappoint each other. Even two people who genuinely love Jesus can hurt one another. So a healthy friendship isn't one where nothing ever goes wrong. It's one where we learn how to handle what's wrong in a godly way. And Jesus has something very practical to say about that. In fact, his instructions begin with one simple word. You ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're ready for this. The one simple word is go. Everybody turn to your other neighbor and say, go.
Go.
Go, not around them, not away from them, to them. Because great friendships aren't built by avoiding hard conversations. They're built by learning how to have them and do them well. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 18. And if you don't want your toes stepped on, pull them back, pull them back. I promise your toes are going to get stepped on. But if your toes don't get stepped on once in a while, you're not standing close enough to God. If you're ready, say, uh-huh. All right, let's begin with verse 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my heavenly Father will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Now, I want you to notice something in that scripture. If you got your Bibles, keep them open. If you're underlined, underline. Okay? And notice where Jesus begins. And this is important. You need to get this. He doesn't begin with what the other person should do. He begins with what you should do. Let's look at verse 15. Underline it. If another believer sins against you, go. Now, I can hear what's going on in your brain right now. That's uncomfortable, right? That's uncomfortable. But because when somebody hurts us, right, we usually want them to make the first move, right? Am I wrong? No, I know I'm not wrong, because that's me too. They hurt me. They should apologize. They know what they did. They know. Why should I have to go to them? But here's the thing, okay? We got to get this. Sometimes, we say things and it hurts somebody, and we didn't even know we hurt them. Right? I'm the king of that. Man, that's why everything I say has to go through my wife. She's my filter, my sensor, my everything. She's that, right? We don't even know that they hurt you or they hurt you. But we grab a hold of that hurt or that offense and we hang on to that baby. Right? We hang on to it and we let it replay and replay. We put replay on it and it just goes, loops. Right? And what happens? What happens? Then we start making assumptions. I assume I knew what they meant. I assume I know why they did it. I assume I know that what they think about me. And that's all fine and dandy, but what did Jesus say? Go. That doesn't sound like a suggestion or a friendly, yeah, maybe you should. He says, go, right? But before we go any further there, we need to make an important distinction, and you need to grab a hold of this. Jesus isn't telling us to confront someone every time they annoy us. Not every irritation requires confrontation or conversation, right? Not every disagreement is a sin. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Sometimes, family, love means addressing something. And sometimes maturity means letting something go. So one of the first questions that we should ask is this something that needs to be addressed, or is this something that needs to be released? If you can genuinely release it, or sing with Elsa, let it go, let it go. We can watch a Disney show, right? Release it. But if you can't release it, if it's damaging the relationship, if trust has been broken, if sin is involved, if you're saying it's fine while bitterness is growing underneath, Jesus says, go. Because godly friends move towards restoration. That's the opposite of what we often want to do. Hurt has a way of making us create distance, doesn't it? But Jesus tells us to move toward the person. And there's something deeply Christ-like about that, because that's what Jesus has done for us. Our sin did what? It separated us from God, right? But God didn't say, I'm just going to wait until they come to me. I'm just going to, I don't know if they're going to like me. I don't. That isn't how Jesus works, right? What does Jesus do? He pursues, right? He pursued us. While we were still sinners, God sent his son to die on a cross for me and for you. That's not creating distance. That's bringing the distance, the chasm together. You picking up what I'm throwing down? He came toward us. He pursued us with grace. And people who have been pursued by grace, grab this morning. This is worth the admission. Who have been pursued by grace should be willing to pursue restoration. Notice how Jesus tells us to go. What does he say? He says, go privately. Privately. Family, that's important. Jesus isn't telling us to embarrass them or expose them or recruit a few people who already agree with us on our side and bombard them or make sure that everyone else knows what's happening in town. That isn't what Jesus is saying. He says, go to them personally and privately. Love doesn't unnecessarily expose what can be restored privately. And then Jesus tells us what he was hoping is going to happen. You ready? He says right here, if the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Please don't miss this morning. Don't miss this. You're not trying to win against them. Hear this. You're trying to win them back. Right? And that changes the way that we enter the conversation. Because if my goal is to prove that I'm right, I'm going to speak differently. I'm going to listen differently. I'm going to walk into the room ready to defend my position. I'm ready to fight if I'm wanting to prove that I'm right. That rhymed. That was pretty good. But if my goal is restoration, I come differently. I listen. I speak the truth in love. I leave room. Hear me. I leave room for the possibility that maybe I don't understand everything either. Because the relationship matters more than being declared the winner. The goal isn't winning an argument. The goal is winning the person back. But if that's the goal, then how we have that conversation matters. Because godly friends speak truth with grace. Everybody say that. Truth with grace. Say it one more time. Truth with grace, because it is possible, and I've proven this, it is possible to do the right thing the wrong way. I'm good at it, unfortunately. Jesus says go, but how we go matters. You can go angry. You can go in with accusation and accusing. You can go with your mind already made up. You can determine to make sure that they understand exactly how wrong they are. And you can walk away having obeyed the word go. It just got quiet in here, yo. You have obeyed and you had went and you go. You goed. Much gooder English. Without ever pursuing restoration. So how we have these conversations. So how do we have these conversations? Well, Paul helps us. Good old Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your finger in Matthew. Flip over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. I'll give you a second. I'm going to take a drink of water really quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, Paul's so eloquent. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all in part of the same, we are all part of the same body. Then a few verses later, Paul says this in verse 29. Ooh, this is going to step on toes. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. What does it say? Be what? Good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Oh. I got to read that one again. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who help them. So Paul gives us both sides of a difficult conversation, right? Tell the truth, but pay attention to how you tell it. Because being honest, listen, Linda. Not you, Linda. All my Lindas. Because being honest doesn't give you permission to be harsh. Come on, man. It doesn't give us permission to be harsh. And being gracious doesn't mean pretending nothing happened either. We need both truth and grace. Truth and grace. Say it with me together. Truth and grace. Grace without truth can avoid what needs to be addressed. But when our goal is restoration, we can speak honestly without trying to hurt someone. We can say, that hurt me. What you said hurt me. Here's what I understood you to mean. Is this what you meant? Can you help me understand what happened? And then we listen. Because a hard conversation isn't just about making sure your side is heard only. It's also about being willing to hear theirs. Maybe there's something we misunderstood. Maybe there's something we didn't know. Maybe there's even something we need to own on our own side. Maybe our mouth opened up before our brain engaged and something came out and you're like, wait, that ain't what I meant, right? But here's the thing about words, and one of these days I'm going to preach about the power of words. But here's the thing I know about words, is once they're out, you can't get them back. I used to, in youth ministry years ago, I'd get a couple of things of toothpaste from the dollar store because I was a poor youth pastor. And I'd get two macho guys to come up and I'd see who could squeeze all the toothpaste out the fastest. And then whoever the winner was, he had to try to stick it back in the tube. It's impossible. Family, can I just tell you this? Words are the same. There's a reason that God informs us that the power of life and death is in our tongue. Once those words exit our lips, we cannot get them back. We cannot. So we listen, right? We listen. And that's how we have these conversations matter, because we don't go to attack. We don't go to accuse. We go to understand and to be understood. Because godly friends don't avoid the truth, but they do speak it with grace. And the last thing this morning is probably the hardest point so far. And that's that godly friends pursue restoration without controlling the outcome. Here's something we need to understand. You can go privately. You can speak the truth with grace. You can even be a good listener and listen well. You can have whatever you own, whatever it is that you need to own. You can genuinely want restoration, and the other person may still not respond the way that you hoped. And Jesus knew that. That's why he doesn't stop at verse 15. He says in verse 16, it says, "But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again." Now, notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Well, you tried. Yeah, forget about them. You tried. Walk away. It's on them." He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "If you're unsuccessful, try again." Right? Try again, but this time bring one or two spiritual, you got to get this too, this is important, spiritually mature people to go with you. Why? Now, before I say the why, we don't recruit them because they'll take your side, okay? Not people that have already been convinced that you're right. The goal isn't to gang up on somebody, the goal is restoration, right? These people can listen. They can bring wisdom. They can help clarify what actually happened. And maybe they can see something that you can't see. And that's important. That's important because sometimes when we are hurt, we're absolutely convinced we see the situation clearly. I can see clearly now. The rain is still coming down. Right? We're convinced that we're seeing it clearly. But we might not be. Maybe there's something that we've misunderstood. Maybe there's something that we've contributed to this. Maybe there's something that we need to own. And sometimes bringing a wise, godly person into the conversation doesn't just help the other person see something, it helps us see something too. And then Jesus takes another step. Verse 17 says that if a person still refuses to listen, to do what? Take your case to the church. Now, Jesus is moving beyond a simple misunderstanding between friends. You got to understand this, okay? He's describing someone who is continuing in sin. Picking up what I'm throwing down, if you are, say uh-huh. And they are refusing every attempt at correction and restoration. And eventually, there comes a point where you have to recognize something, that you can pursue restoration, but you cannot force it. Right? You can't force it. You can't pin them to the ground in a double chicken wing and hold them there until they submit and take the correction. No, you could. But then you're probably going to go to jail. So you can't force it, right? You can't make somebody listen. You can't make somebody apologize. You can't make somebody take responsibility. You can't make someone want the relationship restored as much as you do. And maybe right now, There's a relationship coming to your mind. Someone that you've tried to talk to. Someone you've reached out to. Someone you've prayed for. Maybe you've replayed the situation over and over again, wondering, well, what else could I have done? What else should I have said? Why can't I fix this? And if that's you, I want you to hear me clearly this morning. You are responsible for obedience. You are not responsible for their response. Let me say that again. You are responsible for your obedience. You are not responsible for their response. There are some things in a relationship, excuse me, that belong to you, right? You can choose to go. You can choose to tell the truth. You can choose to speak with grace. You can choose to listen. You can choose to own what you've done wrong, and you can choose to forgive. But you can't choose for them. You can't make them listen. You can't make them own their part. You can't make them forgive. You can't make them want restoration. That's not yours to control. And I think sometimes we carry guilt for something that Jesus never asked us to carry. He asks us to be faithful. He doesn't ask us to control the outcome. Restoration takes two willing people. Obedience requires one. So do what Jesus asks you to do. And then trust him. And this is the part that we struggle with sometimes. But trust him with what we can't control. Amen? So let me wrap this up this morning. We started out with two friends, right? Something happened. Someone got hurt. Assumptions were made, distance started to grow, other people got pulled in, and the two people who actually needed to talk weren't talking to each other. And maybe, just maybe, that's not just their story. Maybe there's someone in your life right now, and something just isn't right. Maybe you've been avoiding it. Maybe you've been hoping it would eventually just go away. Maybe you've talked to everyone else about it, except the person that you actually need to have the conversation with. And maybe today, Jesus is simply saying to you what he said in Matthew 18. Go. Go. Again, not to prove that you're right, right? Not to win an argument. Not to make them feel the way that you felt. Go. Because relationships matter, right? Go with humility. Go with truth. Go with grace. Go willing to listen. Go willing to own your part. Go hoping for restoration. Because if it's a friendship worth having, it's a friendship worth restoring. It's not a friendship worth keeping if you're willing to just discard it and kick it to the curb. Right? And then after you have gone and you've done these things. Trust God with what happens next, because you can't control their response. You can only choose your obedience. So maybe the question that we need to leave with today isn't who needs to come make things right with me. Maybe the better question is, who is Jesus asking me to go to? Because healthy relationships aren't relationships that never get messy. They're relationships where we learn to handle the mess like Jesus. So if there is someone that you need to go to, don't keep going around them. Don't keep talking about them. And don't keep waiting for them to make the first move. Jesus just says, go. Speak the truth with grace. Pursue restoration. And then trust Jesus with the outcome. Amen? Bow your heart. Actually, stand with me and bow your heads as we close in prayer. Oh, Jesus, you are so, so good to us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace that you have shown us, Jesus. Help us to show that same grace in our relationships and the wisdom to speak truth with grace and the humility to listen and own our parts. Help us to pursue restoration faithfully and trust you with what we can't control. Shape us, God, in the way that you want us to love one another, so that even when relationship does get messy, we handle the mess like you. God, we love you. Teach us to love like you loved. And we pray this in your precious and mighty Son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's sing together.